Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The Bible tells us that we are, by nature, dead in trespasses and sins. And so we're born into that state. We remain in that until we are born again, until we are born of the Spirit. And then when we're born of the Spirit, that Spirit of Christ gives us the resurrected life of Christ and brings us out from the realm of the dead.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Philippians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 16, in a message titled, Pressing Toward the Goal. Now here's Pastor Brian.
Our scripture reading today is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter. We're going to read verses 7 through 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16. Paul writes this, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." So we are currently going through a study of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, and the theme of our study through Philippians is the fellowship of the gospel. And the reason we chose that as our theme is, first of all, because that was the situation with Paul and the Philippians. They were partnered together for the purpose of the gospel. You see, Paul had been the one who brought the gospel to Philippi, and a church was established. And then when Paul left them, they partnered with him so that more churches could be established throughout the Roman world and that more people could come to experience the salvation of Jesus that they had experienced. And so they were in the fellowship of the gospel. But we also have this as our theme because that is what we want to do. We want to see the gospel expand through this series of teaching. Now, perhaps you're saying, well, what is the gospel? And of course, I think the term is familiar with probably most people, but a lot of people don't know the meaning. The simple meaning is good news. It means the good news. This is the good news that God has made a way for us human beings to have our sins forgiven. Our sins have been the thing that have separated us from him. He's made a way for our sins to be forgiven so we could be reconciled to him, come into a relationship with him and live in that relationship and enjoy the life of fellowship that God intended us to have. And he's done all of this through Jesus Christ. And as we put our personal faith and trust in him, we enter into the fellowship with the Father through the gospel. We're going to talk more about that at the end of the teaching today, but that's just something that we always want to keep at the forefront of our mind. This is the good news. And I just want to say this as well. This is the news. It's always been good news, but it's really good news today in the context of so many people wondering, what does the future hold? And what is life all about? And what happens if I were to die? Those are real questions that we sometimes push to the side. But the gospel is the answer to all of those questions. And so, like I said, we'll come back to that. But we want to focus now today on the verses that we looked at together. And just quickly, in verses 7-9, Paul expresses his perspective on his past life's achievements and his present life in Christ. So as we see here, Paul says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. So Paul previously had put his confidence in his own righteousness. He was part of an elite group of Jewish religious leaders called the Pharisees, and they were confident that through their own law-keeping and their own righteousness, they could attain God's favor. Well, Paul came to the realization through an encounter with Jesus that that was not the case. That was impossible. That his own righteousness could never meet the requirement that God had. And so Paul says that he counts all of that previous righteousness that he assumed he had, he counts that as rubbish. That is no longer a factor. And he now has fully embraced the righteousness that comes through the gift of God given, that comes through faith in Christ. Now, in verse 10, Paul expresses his desire to go deeper in this relationship that he has with Christ. And keep in mind that Paul is probably minimum of 2, maybe close to 3 decades into this relationship with Christ. But he says in verse 10, he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So even after these decades of walking with and knowing and following and serving Christ, he still has this deep passion to know Christ in a deeper way. He says here again that I might know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death. And then he says this, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now here's where we have to stop and say, wait a second, what does that mean? What is Paul talking about here when he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead? Because what it sounds like possibly he's saying is that he's not totally sure if in the end he will attain to the resurrection. It sounds like he could be indicating that he thinks that he somehow must work harder, that he must get to know Christ better so he can have a greater assurance that he will attain to the resurrection. And talking about attaining to the resurrection, we can use the term salvation. So here's the question. Was Paul uncertain about his own salvation? Second question, did Paul think that somehow he had to contribute his own efforts to his salvation? And the answer to both questions is no. Paul was not uncertain, and he did not think that, and he would not have meant that in what he stated here, because that would have contradicted everything he just said. So then what does Paul mean by, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead? This is what we need to understand. Paul is not talking about a future resurrection, the resurrection at the end of time. He's not talking about the ultimate goal of salvation to bring him into that resurrected, glorified state with Christ. He's not talking about something in the future he's hoping to attain, but a present experience of the resurrected life that Jesus gives to his people. And so if we just read what Paul said just a slight bit differently, we will understand the meaning of it. And this is the way I think we should read it, that Paul, when he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, we should read it to the resurrection out from among the dead. You see, that's what Paul's talking about, out from among the dead. Now, the Bible tells us that we are by nature, our natural state is dead in trespasses and sins. And so we're born into that state. We remain in that until we are born again, until we are born of the Spirit. And then when we're born of the Spirit, that Spirit of Christ gives us the resurrected life of Christ and brings us out from the realm of the dead. And so what Paul is really describing here is a life that's lived out of this state of deadness, this resurrected life, this life that Jesus gives to us, that is his life that was demonstrated when he rose from the dead. Now, this is not the only place Paul says something like this, and it's always good to look for other passages that help us to understand what he's talking about. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Paul says something that is similar. And listen to what he said. He said, therefore, we were buried with him, speaking of Christ, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk or live in the newness of life. So this is the same thing. He's talking about this newness of life, living this life out from among the dead, living this resurrected life, living, even though we're still in the world of the dead, so to speak, yet we are living a different life. We're living a life different than the life we used to live. We're living now the resurrected life. That's what Paul is talking about here when he says that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection out from among the dead. Paul wants his life to be all that Christ intends it to be here in the present time. And as Paul is expressing this for himself, of course, this is also God through Paul expressing his desire for us, that we would live out from among the dead, that we, our lives would be lives that are like Christ because we are living in the power of the resurrected Christ. And so Paul says here a number of things about living this resurrected life. And I want to just walk through a few of the things that Paul says in the portion of scripture that we read today. So looking at verse 12, Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So this is where we see what is driving Paul. Paul wants to apprehend that for which he was apprehended by Christ. That's the using the King James terminology. Here in my New King James Version, it is laying hold of. So Paul says he wants to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of him. And here's what we need to know. Christ laid hold of us for specific purposes. And Paul recognizes that, and he knows that. So what are those things? Well, first of all, and ultimately, Christ has laid hold of us so that we might obtain his glory. He laid hold of us ultimately so that we might one day be glorified with him and enjoy his presence eternally. So that's the ultimate purpose behind his laying hold of us. Paul expresses it this way in writing to the church in Thessalonica. He says in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, he says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we were apprehended for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the distant picture. That's where we are headed. But what Paul is talking about here when he says, "I want to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me," he's, I think more specifically in this context, he's referring to the present. And so as he refers to the present, what is he speaking of? Well, he's speaking of the fullness of God's plan for our lives here and now in both service and sanctification. Paul believed that Christ laid hold of him with a purpose in mind. And Paul says, "I want to lay hold of the purpose for which Christ laid hold of me." See, Paul's saying, "I want to enter into all that God intended for me when he saved me." And that would include, as I said, both service and sanctification. Now, so for Paul, here's Paul who, as I've already said, you know, at least two decades, maybe three decades into his service for Christ, is following the Lord. And if we know anything about Paul, we know that he wrote most of the letters in the New Testament. We know that he labored extensively. We know that he traveled the Mediterranean world, preaching the gospel, leading people to Christ, establishing churches, raising up leadership. These are all the things that Paul was engaged in doing. But he says that he wants to still lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of him. Paul is saying, I want to do more. I want to go further than I've already gone. You might look at Paul and think, well, you've already done so much. But for Paul, it was like, yeah, that I have done so much, but I want to do more. I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. But it wasn't only that, and I don't even think it was mainly that. I think when Paul says, "I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me," I think he's even thinking more about the reality of becoming more intimate in his relationship with Christ, and therefore he himself becoming more Christ-like. You see, what Paul is even more concern to make sure he does in his life is he wants to attain the place that God has for him in fellowship with Christ and in transformation by Christ into the likeness of Christ. As wonderful as it is to serve God, to be a servant of the Lord like Paul was, or many others have been in that role as well. And I can say this from my own experience, as wonderful as it is to serve God, God did not redeem me primarily to become his servant, but he redeemed me to become his son, in my case, and in maybe in your case, his daughter. He redeemed us to become first and foremost his children. He redeemed us so we could know him and have this deep, intimate relationship with him, and so that through that process, he could actually transform us into the image of Christ. So when Paul says, "I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me," I think Paul is talking more about going deeper with Christ personally and becoming more like Christ to those around him. Christ-likeness is what he's referring to. Now, how would we define that? What is this Christ-likeness that Paul is longing to attain? I think the best way to summarize it would be to just take the fruit of the Spirit as expressed in Galatians chapter 5 and just understand that as being a declaration really of the character of Christ. Now, remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So these are, in a sense, the attributes of the Holy Spirit. But of course, the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ as well. So as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. As we look at that, we can say this is Christ-likeness. Christ was, of course, the incarnation of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So when Paul is saying that he's striving for Christ-likeness through deeper intimacy with Christ, this is what he is talking about. So how is he going about this? Well, the first thing he tells us is that he is approaching it all with a realistic view of himself. And when we think about this, when we think about going deeper with Christ, when we think about becoming more like Christ, we, of course, we need to start as well with a realistic view of ourselves. And the realistic view that Paul expresses here is there in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. You see, Paul knew that there was still more that Christ wanted to do in him. Paul knew that. And if we're looking at ourselves honestly with a clear view, then we're going to realize the same thing as well. I have not attained. I'm not perfected. You think if anybody might have reached that goal, you think of somebody like Paul or maybe one of the other apostles, you would think, well, surely they got really close. Well, Paul says, I have not attained. I'm not yet perfected. Paul recognized in himself that there were still things that Christ needed to work into him, things that Christ needed to work out of him. And if we're honest, we're all gonna feel the same way. And the circumstances sometimes of life, they bring out some of the areas where we need to continue to grow. This past week, I have to say that the Lord showed me some areas where I needed to continue to grow. I'm not perfected in these areas. So I have not attained. I have not been perfected. There are still plenty of areas in my life where I need to grow and become more like Christ. And so Paul has a realistic view of self. And again, the realistic view is I've not arrived. I need to keep growing. I need to go deeper. And as you're tuning in today, as you're listening, and I would imagine that maybe there are a few people that would say, well, no, I'm fine. I've arrived. I am perfected, but we know that that's actually delusional. But for those who are without delusion, who recognize we haven't been perfected, we still need to keep growing. So what's the process? And Paul, he then goes on and he shares with us the process. And so he says in verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but he says, one thing I do. One thing I do, or as the New English Translation puts it, I am single-minded.
For the month of September, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is the unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Philippians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.